Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
I'm not a dad.
Yeah.
That's not so, why I'm doing great.
So you're doing great.
No, I'm. There's a hole in my life that needs fulfillment, and I fill it with the hatred and vitriol that comes along with talking about politics. And that is how I derive meaning and purpose in my life, is by this mythical idea that I'm somehow going to help save the planet.
Yeah.
From its own annihilation.
That is a mythical idea for sure.
Speaking of saving the planet from its own annihilation, what did we do yesterday?
We went and saw Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I did. It was a good movie.
I also enjoyed it.
I will say it got a little slow towards the end.
It did.
And I understand they had to explain a lot of things, but I feel like we could have cut to the chase a little bit on some of that.
I would have rather, not for any spoilers or anything, but where we arrived at the very end of the movie, I would have rather they timed that out with the creation of the bomb and everything working to where you had the bomb climax. Spoiler alert, the project goes fine.
Yeah.
Okay, if you've never looked at the History Channel or anything like that, the project went fine. Okay, so if they would have timed out the successful test of the bomb with the actual ending of the movie, because they were cutting back and forth between these things the whole time, like Christopher Nolan likes to do, that would have been a lot better. You would have had all of that resolve at the same time. Instead, what we got was like another hour after what felt like the climax of the movie, mm-hmm. where you're like, okay, how far into this are we going to go? That was so cool. Like it was great, but it did seem to go a little long in the tooth, as they used to say.
Yeah.
But the music?
And Iron Man was good in it.
That's his official name. It was about 2 hours into the movie, Charlie leans over and goes, "Is that Iron Man?" Like, yes, freaking Robert Downey Jr. has been staring you in the face.
Tony
on the IMAX
Stark
screen
is right there.
Yeah.
It's Tony Stark.
Yes, that's who it was. Okay.
Because I was like, I know this guy, you know, but I couldn't figure it out for a while.
It's makeup. And
now, the good news is we didn't go down Nate's research rabbit hole of theaters to find the best seats and the best everything that leads you down a 4DX path.
See yesterday's episode for details.
And so we actually we sat in a smaller IMAX, but mm-hmm. the sound was incredible. It was in your face. The chairs vibrated not because the chairs have vibrations built into them like a 4DX theater does. It's mm-hmm. because that's how rumbling the sound was.
The sound was so loud.
It was so
that
good.
It was shaking you.
Yes.
And that is what I
you felt
want.
It in your chest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's when you actually feel like you're a part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was exploding. And it was great.
Overall a good movie. Now, Charlie, let me ask you this. Do you have any moral struggle?
I struggle hard with it, man. I'll tell you what.
What do you think about the bomb? Should we have dropped it? That's the debate that's starting to unfold right now. What would you have done? And if you would have been Oppenheimer, would you have felt bad and finished out your life talking about how we didn't need to build these things?
I try to be careful of judging the past by where I sit right now.
I like that.
Because it's so easy to look back and be like, well, you know, I would have made the right moral choice. It puts you in an elevated ego sense of you know better. Now, I do think we can reflect on the past and be like, okay, was that a good decision or not? And I think that that's, that can be talked about and should be debated. I kind of wish we would have never developed these weapons, but if America wouldn't have done it, they probably would have figured it out somewhere else. I mean,
it was inevitable.
Yeah. I mean, as science advanced as rapid as rapidly as it did in the last 100 years, I think obviously the splitting of atoms or the fusion of atoms now, those things, somebody would have been like, oh, we can make a weapon out of this, obviously, just like they did with all the other chemistry and physicist experiments that they turned into other weapons, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a dangerous game to play because we can sit here in our chairs in 2023 and look back to 1942 and think that we would have done a better job. I have no idea. Also, I'm not as smart as that guy.
No, so, definitely not. Listen, inevitably people are going to make nukes. That's going to happen. And I hate that argument because it's like, well, they're going to do it, so we have to do it. And that argument, it does suck, but it is true. People are going to make those nukes. And my biggest problem is I think they could have tested the atomic bomb on a smaller area, like a less populated area, and been like, hey, Japan guy, go to that mountain and look over there. And I want to show you what we got. And you show the guy, and he's like, says something in Japanese to the effect of,
I surrender.
Holy crap,
yeah.
I give up. And
just drop the sun.
You'd be like, yeah, here comes the sun. And then you play that song in the background for them, even though it hasn't been written yet. And then you're like, okay, do you surrender? And they say no. And so you drop another one. You're like, we got like 100 of these things, man. You know, they only had 2. They probably told them they have way more. And then maybe they surrender and you don't have to kill like 200,000 people.
It was like 250,000 people.
You know, innocent people who weren't fighting for Japan. Not saying that they wouldn't have fought when we invaded Japan and they wouldn't have defended themselves from a foreign invader or whatever. But that's what I would try first. But, of course, that's me trying to go back and change history because I know better or whatever.
Well, I default on the side of not going to war. Or trying to end things in a more peaceful manner, you know, like is killing 250,000 Japanese people justification, or is it justified because, you know, 3,000 people were killed at Pearl Harbor? So we got to kill 100 times more.
Now the only, and this is a tough one because we're talking completely hypothetically here, but one of the ideas is that this would stop all the future world wars. Now, remember, at that time, we had World War One, and then we had World War Two, and tons of people died. Lots of people died in those wars. You know, lots of a lot of good men out there. And then they dropped these, and we do kind of have a period of relative peace compared to the world wars that have been going on.
Although the public thought it was peaceful. There was a long Cold War with Russia.
With Vietnam, there's the Korea stuff. There's, you know, we have all our wars.
Yeah, but from the 60s to the 90s, I mean, there's 30 years there where the people were close to pressing the button.
Yeah.
A lot closer than people knew about.
I'm just wondering
if... Which could have ignited the atmosphere.
I'm wondering if mutually assured destruction actually has saved millions of people's lives. We'll never know. We have no idea.
I do think that there is peace and strength. I do think that. I think that even for your personal life, I mean, and this is something Jordan Peterson talks about, is being nice or passive is not a virtue, right? But being a monster and then choosing, being capable of being a monster and choosing not to be a monster, that's what's actually virtuous.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there is some of that sentiment. I mean, I wish they weren't created. I don't like human beings dying, but at the same time, I also can understand that there can be peace through strength. I don't think we need to kill a bunch of innocent people to prove that.
I think we could have found another way of proving it.
Yes.
I do. All right, let's get into a couple of the stories.
But I'm against war.
Overall,
I'm against death.
The moral of the story is when Harry Truman's been drinking, you don't have with him. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, you have to go look up Norm MacDonald's Dirty Johnny joke, one of my favorites of all time.
I did find it interesting, his personal life and
oh yeah,
all the things that happened there. So that was pretty interesting.
I watched a fact versus fiction thing this morning to see, and it seems like they got a lot of things correct.
Yeah.
So anyway, go watch the movie. Just be prepared for the last hour to feel a bit slow, but I will tell you, you still come away feeling like it was a good movie if you like Christopher Nolan-type movies, of which Charlie and I both do, except for Dunkirk.
Yeah.
except for Dunkirk. That is the rule.
Yeah. I do really like the cinematography and the way that he, you know, directs these films along with the music.
Mm-hmm.
It just gives, I don't know, it's a powerful experience.
He's and one of the...
I remember, like, The Dark Knight... Mm. And, you know, others that he's done, I don't know if for some reason it actually gives you like that movie experience that you don't get at other movies.
He's one of those people where you don't normally pay a ton of attention to who the director is of a movie. You know, it's not like, oh, there's a new whoever. Like, Top Gun was a big movie. Who directed Top Gun? Can you tell me?
I have no idea.
No idea at all. Just went and saw Mission Impossible 7. I don't know. Maybe J.J. Abrams had something to do with it. There were a lot of lens flares around, so I'm not sure. He might have had something to do with it.
Yeah.
And so he's one of those people where it's like, oh, Christopher Nolan has a movie coming out. It's like an event that we all wait for every couple of years. There's a Christopher Nolan movie coming out, and we're going to go see it. So I'm excited. Anytime that happens, I go.
I think like an 80s, 90s Spielberg. You're right. Councilman.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And I go see any movie that he has because it's a Christopher Nolan movie, and I go see it. I don't even care what it's going to be. He can make Barbie 2, and I'm going to go see it. Okay, political things that we're going to talk about. Charlie, there could be an impeachment incoming for Joseph R. Biden, but we'll see. We're going to see what happens when this guy testified. Devin Archer, a former business partner of Hunter Biden, expecting to describe the alleged damning calls involving the president at an upcoming hearing of the House Oversight Committee. Now, the president, Joseph R. Biden, has said several times that he had nothing to do with his son's foreign business dealings, never talked to him about them at all. And it looks like there could be someone coming forward to testify that he did, in fact, have things to do. Listen, we all know that he had stuff to do. I think Hunter Biden was just working as a helper for his dad, going around collecting 10% from people. That's what I think was probably going on. That doesn't mean that I can prove that that's what was going on. But they finally released, Archer's explosive anticipated testimony comes on the heels of last week's release of an FBI informant file that said Hunter and then Vice President Joe Biden coerced a Ukrainian oligarch to pay $10 million in bribes to dodge a corruption probe. So we all remember that one, and they had an FBI informant come forward, and of course we never really heard about that, and they didn't do much investigating on that.
We're going to impeach every president from here on out.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah,
and they might all deserve it.
I'm not saying they didn't.
Except for, you know, the stuff they impeached Trump for.
They could have impeached him for all kinds of stuff.
You know, impeach someone because they killed a civilian that was innocent overseas, like they murdered someone.
Unauthorized war crimes.
Yes. There's an impeachable. Impeach them because they forcefully stole money from people at the threat of death, you know, through the barrel of a gun. But unfortunately, I guess they're authorized to do that. But no, they impeached him because he tried to look into this whole Biden corruption thing in Ukraine, you know, and he asked to look into why this prosecutor, this person who was investigating Burisma was fired, and which Biden was boasting about, saying that, well, he was a corrupt guy. You know, we were going to give them foreign aid money, and we had to make sure they get rid of these corrupt guys. Well, that corrupt guy also happened to be investigating Burisma who was clearly tied to Hunter Biden and the Bidens, and that guy's gone. And Trump tries to look into that, and they impeach him for it. That's kind of weird. Seems a little sus, in my opinion. And then they impeach him over the January 6th thing, which is total BS. Like, they just, that was just a virtue. That was a virtue impeachment that they were trying to do right then. So what do you think is going to happen? Do you think we're going to get a Joe Biden impeachment trial before the election?
I don't know.
Because, you see, that worries me. Not that I really care that much about all this stuff, except for it is a part of our daily lives, I guess. If they tried to impeach him, I'm worried that that's actually going to help Joe Biden. In the same way that, you know, these things all tend to have the opposite effect on people's fan bases.
Although it didn't seem to help Trump win.
No, didn't help him win. It could have. I mean, I think all these investigations right now are one of the reasons he's still so popular. People feel like he's getting persecuted.
Yeah.
You know, they want to support him. He's a martyr for the cause of liberty. Apparently, somehow Donald Trump became that person. I don't know.
I mean, we all knew that there was, well, we all knew and could speculate that there, well, with any high level politician, there's dirty games being played mm-hmm. in the background. And so, look, if you got the evidence, I say bring it forward. Let's tell the truth. Let's change our whole society over to truth-telling. Wouldn't that be something?
That would be fine. Like, where you worry about someone having a corrupt past means that they're going to get impeached, and so we just stop putting super corrupt people in those places of power because it turns out we're just going to impeach people if there's any dirt
yeah.
at all?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Let's agree. Let's agree to do that all the time. I was going to play a clip of this guy talking, but I don't want to. So let's go on to this. Oh, God.
Because that guy talking doesn't matter.
Good news here. It's not Wednesday, Charlie, but this is a story about we're winning.
Okay.
Right now. Here you go.
It's from the Washington Post. IRS says agents will no longer knock on taxpayers' doors unannounced. Internal Revenue Service agents will no longer make unannounced visits to taxpayers' homes, the agency said Monday, in a policy shift meant to protect employees' safety amid concerns about potentially irate taxpayers answering the door. Since at least the 1950s, revenue agents have knocked on tens of thousands of taxpayers' doors each year, according to agency staff. The new policy will reduce these visits to no more than 500 per year, and only under unusual circumstances. Instead of making house calls to taxpayers who have ignored overdue tax notices in the mail, the agency will send letters that instruct taxpayers to schedule a visit with the revenue officer.
That's
just like going to the doctor.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And call the office.
Schedule your next checkup.
Can't wait. Safety concerns have long dogged the door knockers. More than 30 years ago, the IRS said agents were assaulted hundreds of times in a year, making them the most attacked federal law enforcement officers. It even told them they could use fake names for their own protection. Just like the tax collectors in the Bible times.
Just like them.
Hated individuals. They knock on Jesus' door, he'd invite them in for dinner, man. Come on in. But recent rhetoric from Republicans opposed to last year's increase in IRS funding has raised more concerns about agents showing up unannounced on citizens' doorsteps. Ending the door-knocking practice will help recruit tax experts to work for the agency. These are some of the hardest jobs in government.
That's a pretty funny line.
There is a better way of doing it, IRS spokesman Terry Lemons said.
Now, I want you to look through all the jobs in government, Charlie. If we could get a list of government jobs. Now, there's too many for us to actually look through. But
millions.
The IRS agent who goes to the door to tell you that you owe the government money, one of the hardest jobs out there. I know that you've...
Yeah, because you probably have like a moral conundrum when you go to bed at night.
Yeah.
Being like, I'm federally licensed to steal money from these people who... tell me that if they pay their taxes, they won't be able to feed their children, and I don't care about their children.
I know that you thought being a lower infantryman stirring a burning pile with a stick.
You can't say that word.
Can't
now,
say
you
that.
Now you have to bleep that out.
I know. You can't say stick on the radio, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah, I know that you thought that was one of the harder jobs.
Yeah, to be a grunt.
In the government.
Yeah.
You know, cleaning someone's boot. With your tongue, or whatever. I don't know.
You're not in the military.
No.
I don't know what they do.
No, I don't know what they do in the military these days. These days they read about like gender theory or something. I don't even get to pass your gender theory test to be in the military. So anyhow, I think I take this as a win.
Or city sewer workers, you know.
Listen, they just said that they're too scared to go to people's houses because people are too mad at them. Boom.
Which proves that the federal government really doesn't have that much power.
No. Screw these people, man.
Yeah.
Good. Good. Now, don't actually hurt them, okay? That's not good. Not a good idea.
Not advocating for any violence whatsoever.
No. No violence.
Go home.
But the installation of fear in these people's hearts? Yes. That is what we got to do. All right, so good job.
Just so you know, the union representing IRS employees pushed for the change. Now, why would a government agency need a union to represent them? To what, argue against the government for paying them fairly and stuff? I mean,
I don't know.
Why would they need to be unionized? They work for the government.
You think that the government, being in public service like that,
wrote all the regulations and everything.
There would be no problems when it comes to your employment. That you would only be treated the best. But it tends to be a lot of public workers are in unions, actually, because they've got the worst employer in the world, which is the government.
The last one here. The safety of IRS employees is of paramount importance, and this decision will help protect those whose jobs have only grown more dangerous in recent years because of false, inflammatory rhetoric about the agency and its workforce. There's nothing.
People lying about them out there.
What is inflammatory about telling the truth? Like,
yeah, taxation and slavery.
Yeah, exactly. It's theft.
Yes.
It's theft. Extortion. You're literally sending federal agents with guns to someone's house. Saying, I deserve to steal this money from you, and you can do nothing about it. That's literally just the truth.
Now, typically, I hear when they go to the house the first time to say, oh, hey, you owe us money, they don't have guns with them at that time. They're happier, nicer people at that time. Later, when you don't pay them and they come to put you in a cage for a living, those people bring their guns with them, and so that's not good. All right, Charlie, this should be a dumb bleep submission, but it's too funny to not talk about today.
Okay.
And so I wanted to make fun of this. Researchers condemn the rise of fascist ideologues after students send mocking responses to an LGBTQ survey. All right, coming up, we are going to talk about hilarious responses to a LGBTQ survey in the STEM field. Liberty at Night on the Free Talk Live Network.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. President Biden is pushing insurers to improve access to mental health care for Americans.
Mental health care is health care. It's essential to people's well-being and their ability to lead a full and productive life.
Biden announced a proposed rule today to strengthen requirements so health insurers cover behavioral health at the same level as physical health. UPS and Teamsters are avoiding a strike after reaching a tentative agreement on a new labor contract. A strike by UPS would have been the largest in U.S. history. Ratification of the new five-year deal could take about 3 weeks. The blistering heat wave that's been hitting the southwest for weeks, now expanding toward the middle of the country. It's likely to bring temperatures toward 100 degrees to several Midwest states this week, while the East Coast could see its hottest weather of the summer. High temperatures remain in the forecast in states like California, Nevada, Texas, and Florida. John Schaefer, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
I need more time to file my taxes. Help!
On IRS.gov, you can use IRS Free File to get 6 more months. Or you can submit IRS Form 4868 by the April deadline. If you owe taxes, you can make an electronic payment and get a filing extension with no need to submit Form 4868. Go to IRS.gov for details. But remember, an extension of time to file is not an extension of time to pay what you owe.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
What's up, y'all? This is Nate and Charlie, Liberty at Night, Free Talk Live Network. All right, Charlie, this should be a dumb bleep submission, but it's too funny to not talk about today.
Okay.
And so I wanted to make fun of this. Researchers condemn the rise of fascist ideologues after students send mocking responses to an LGBTQ survey, which is fascist, just so you know.
Of course.
Academic researchers condemn students' irreverent and offensive responses to an LGBTQ survey, claiming the pushback indicates fascist ideologues are living inside the House of Engineering and Computer Science. It's really sad because these are supposed to be like the smart, logical, practical people out there.
Mm-hmm.
This is not good. In an article for the Bulletin of Applied Transgender Studies, academics from Oregon State University wrote about their shock at receiving sarcasm and mockery in response to their research into undergraduate LGBTQ students studying in STEM fields. The team claimed 50 of the 349 respondents to their questionnaire on the topic contained slurs, hate speech, direct targeting of the research team, or direct targeting of the research team, labeling them malicious respondents. They adapted their project to examine how the joke responses, quote, relate to engineering culture by framing them within larger social contexts, namely the rise of online fascism.
Of course. Yeah.
So they were trying to do research on LGBTQ people in the STEM fields. They ended up switching their research to the fascists that made jokes in their responses back to people. Let's see. The result was the paper titled... The result was a paper titled Attack Helicopters and White Supremacy. interpreting malicious responses to an online questionnaire about transgender undergraduate engineering and computer science student experiences. What a catchy title.
Oh,
a catchy title. The paper broke the responses down into themes like demographics, diversity, equity and inclusion, gender, anti-trans, anti-queer, racism, anti-Semitism, and online hate subculture references. Several answers contain profanity and other offensive and obscene language, and many referenced memes.
Oh, no.
According to the article, when the malicious subjects were asked to fill out demographic data, 12 respondents indicated their gender as being related to a helicopter or aircraft, ranging from an Apache helicopter to a V-22 Osprey.
Well, how do they know?
Who gets to decide that?
How do they get to decide?
Yeah. Come on.
That makes no sense.
In the section declaring one's disabilities, responses range from claiming to be illiterate to lamenting, my country is run by communists. That was listed as a disability. Or even declaring that identifying as transgender is a disability in itself due to the inability to come to terms with biological reality. Ooh, that's fascism.
Mm, yeah.
One respondent claimed to identify as a gift card as their gender. Under racial and ethnic identities, they said, I'm an ethnic gift card. And for disability, the answer was, I don't have enough gift cards.
Yes. Yes. More of this. Okay. It's like they think that their responses are ridiculous, as if the questions aren't ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, ridiculous questions deserve ridiculous answers.
It's true.
You know?
Ask ridiculous questions, get ridiculous prizes, as they say.
And they sit there thinking that they're somehow superior.
They asked around and found out.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
Let's see. Other responses, the questions.
AAFO.
I went through here to cut out all of the fluff, and the entire piece is just glorious like this the whole time. Other responses, the questions.
Keep going.
Other responses to questions about identity rejected the researchers' project entirely with answers such as, quote, my skin color is not important. That's fascism. Come on, man. These questions are stupid. Everyone is a grab bag of genetics from all over the world. That's fascism. And what else do you want to know? What I ate for breakfast? This question is unnecessary.
How many times have you gone to the bathroom in your life?
Quote, online memes associated with white nationalist and fascist movements were present throughout the data. So memes associated with white nationalists and fascists, it was probably those Pepe the Frog memes or something like that. That's what I'm betting. We're present throughout the data alongside memes and content referencing gaming and nerd culture, the researchers further claimed. The research team declared that the mockery they received, see, this is where it gets serious. They declared that the mockery they received had a profound impact on morale and mental health, particularly for one transgender researcher who was already in therapy for anxiety and depression regarding online anti-trans rhetoric.
Mm.
You know, if you have to go to therapy because you see too much online anti-trans rhetoric and it's creating such a big problem in your life, I would recommend stop going online. Go outside and touch grass.
Yeah.
Because you know what? The algorithms found out what you were looking at and they're going to keep feeding it to you. All right. So just
also imagine
that's where your problems from. Stop.
Imagine asking questions and then you don't get the responses that you expect. So this is really a matter of like unmet expectations, which are your fault.
They are
for having the expectations. You should send out questions and be curious to know what the answers are. That's what questions are for.
Yep.
Not to get a specific answer and then you have anxiety. Well, okay. You have anxiety about it. You know, because they act like that they already know the answers, and so when they get things that they don't expect, then they have to shift the focus from being like, from being curious about why they would get responses like that to automatically deeming them as unacceptable, fascist, racist. That's why they come up with all these, just these instant attacks on you personally as a person, rather than trying to argue the ideas.
It's also, if you thought their questions were dumb, you're a fascist. You're shut down at that point.
Right.
You know? And they shift the study to that, like what you're saying, because they couldn't just put, well, a large portion of the respondents thought that this was unnecessary. You know, they couldn't do that in their study. And it's sad what happened, because the paper claimed that managing the study's data collection caused significant personal distress, and time had to be taken off the project to heal from traumatic harm of having to read students' responses in the survey.
Stop reading them.
Yeah. These people, you know what? They need to, let's just say it in the way that my mom would say it. They need to grow spine. All right. They need to get a backbone and get over it. People said mean things and you don't like it, and it damaged your fragile little worldview bubble that you've been living in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm sorry that them having different opinions than you is happening to you right now.
They have a fix for this, though, Nate.
Oh,
don't. They got a fix for this.
The scholars concluded that malicious responses indicate that fascism has become a common ideology in engineering and computer science academia. They suggested the counter response should be social justice STEM education, or STEM. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Folks, it can be tough to know which direction to take in life. For example, you might think doing this podcast was an easy move, but it wasn't. It takes a willingness to work crazy hours, read people's differing opinions, and make, well, what you might expect a mid-level libertarian podcast to make. What gets me through is knowing I'm being true to myself and my values. So whether you're dealing with decisions around career, relationships, or anything else, therapy helps you stay connected to what you really want while you navigate life, so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. Therapy made a huge difference in my life, and co-host Charlie's used BetterHelp 4 years. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GML today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GML. That includes, quote, perspectives on online hate, radicalization, and center anti-colonial intersectional solidarity organizing as its opposition.
So now part of your STEM degree, folks, before you can get a degree in science, technology, engineering, or mathematics, you also have to be schooled in social justice, learning about how your participation in online hate radicalization and your anti-colonial intersectional solidarity is oppressing people.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you can't do math.
You see, this
because
is,
if you don't understand math, if you don't get how math is racist, how can you get a math degree?
True. This is kind of sad, because this is one of the areas of academia that hasn't been completely destroyed yet by all of this woke BS. And now they're coming in and saying, oh, we see that people had sarcastic responses to our woke BS survey that we gave them. So therefore, what we need is a social justice STEM education, just like what we talked about with the woke California math. You know, we need to go in there and teach them how engineering has had disproportionate impacts on indigenous people or something like that. And then you'll be able to get your STEM degree.
Their answer is, like, we don't like what we're seeing, so our solution is to indoctrinate people to believe the way that we believe, because we don't like their answers.
They claim their research methods used anti-fascist and trans-queer methodologies that transform the raw data. It's like a scientific methodology.
Mm, yeah.
It's part of the scientific method. to make effective interventions and transformations to our programs and institutions. They describe anti-fascism, in particular, as a framework that connects contemporary fascist movements to the foundation of the U.S. as a racial project, noting elsewhere that white supremacy remains ubiquitous in the United States.
Yeah, you can just say that.
I guarantee you it's because people use that freaking Pepe meme, that frog, somewhere. It's going to be about a frog.
Mm-hmm. And the frog's gay.
Well, it's the only non-gay frog. It was immune to atrazine.
That's right.
It didn't get turned gay. You know? Not that there's anything wrong with that. You know? People need to live their own lives, and that includes frogs. Okay, I just want to be clear about this.
Just reading, this is just so infuriating.
So, the thing that, remember, we were talking last night. You watched that, the Barbie review. We had
finish this real quick because...
It says here,
saying the solution for the rise of fascism is to change education itself, the team wrote. And see, this is what they've been doing, right? We knew that it was going to be a slippery slope, and all the real academics have come out and spoke out about this that have lost their jobs, etc. This has been the goal the whole time, right? They want to, first of all, if they disagree with you, they label it as something that they can link back to Hitler and the Nazis and Jews, right? So they'll call whatever it is fascist.
Mm-hmm.
They don't agree with you. And then they tell you exactly what they're going to do with some fancy words as to make it seem like they're the smart ones that need to re-educate people. So they said, the team wrote, quote, the university at its most ideal can be envisioned as a central site for revolutionary struggle, a site where we can work to educate for critical consciousness using a pedagogy of liberation. They're telling you exactly, like, these are indoctrination camps for revolution.
That you pay a bunch of money to go to.
Where we will retrain your brain. We will manipulate you into thinking the way that we do and believing all the lies that we tell.
If they destroy the STEM fields, like they've destroyed essentially everything else, it's really bad.
Exactly, Copperhead. It's word salad.
It is. None of those things meant anything.
It's literally word salad.
What you're left after the sentence that Charlie just read is trying to figure out what the heck he just said. And while you are sitting there looking confused, the person who just said it to you feels amazing.
Yeah.
Because you are confused, and it's your fault that you're confused and that you're not as smart as they are while they were talking about this. Okay?
And then you say, hey, can you clarify that for me? Like, I have to explain that to you? Why don't you come join my class and then you'll learn something?
Yeah. This is something we talked about last night with that Barbie movie and with a lot of things going on right now. I think people are so hungry for some type of meaning and purpose in their lives that they're creating these struggles. Like, listen, if Ben Shapiro's review of the Barbie movie is true, then it is presenting a completely false narrative of the struggle that women are going through in America at the moment to a bunch of children that are going to see the movie. And not that there aren't struggles, not that everything's perfect. But for instance,
that some men don't oppress women.
Yeah.
Cause that does happen. And some women oppress men.
We all know that as oppressors, like we can tell you. Okay. What I think is happening is people are just hungry for some type of meaning, and they've looked up to people, like people in the civil rights movement and the women's suffrage movement, and they don't have anything to fight for right now because they don't have the proper principles of like self-ownership and individualism. They could be fighting for that if they wanted to actually be fighting the true revolutionary struggle. They could be fighting for individual rights. But instead, they want to pretend like they're still fighting through the women's suffrage movement because it makes them feel important. And so they drill down on every single little thing, keep fighting. The same thing with like people who still want to be in the civil rights movement. There are valid things that still happen, but we're not still living in the 60s right now. We're not living in the 1860s right now either. But I think people have looked up to those folks their entire lives, and they want to be the next generation. Even if there's nothing like that going on right now, they'll make it up. They'll act like it's going on. They'll cosplay the movement so they can feel important about themselves. And that's slightly dangerous. It's not great.
Well, and if his review is correct, in which the movie essentially asserts that women and men are better off alone and separated from each other because they cannot get along because they see the world so differently, that is so dangerous.
Yeah.
We are much better off together.
Yeah.
Like, men and women have different skills, and they are very different. But when you bring them together as a team, like, you can create something, like, where you can navigate through the world and solve, like, really serious problems together.
Mm-hmm.
Because men and women's solutions are going to be different. But together they make, like, a wholesome solution that benefits everyone. And so the whole idea of the movie, if that's what it's about, is completely antithetical to what creates the greatest societies. You know, and this is what, like, so to me, this is why Jordan Peterson has been so important in this discussion, right? He's been calling this out for years. The fact that we see this world as a patriarchy and men and women have struggled in this power grab, and that the whole history of humankind is men oppressing women, to view it from that lens creates dangerous separation. And I'm not saying that as a man, you know, saying that, well, I'm lonely and I deserve to have a woman. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that you have, the chances of becoming a human being are so slim, like 1 in 420 trillion chance of becoming a human being, that if we pit men and women against each other rather than us cooperating, and we view history as men and women against each other instead of cooperating, then all we do is just create the destruction of human beings as we know it. That's eventually what it leads to. Because if women are separate over here in their little gossip pod, and men are separated over here in their, you know, I don't know, woods pod or whatever, they're out fishing or something.
So
then there's no babies created.
Your initial idea was that women were over here gossiping and men are out here fishing.
I don't know.
You know, that's what your brain first went to. And
I'm trying to make a joke at the same time.
I know. I'm trying to continue to joke right now.
But I think that that's a, you know, this is really one of the biggest struggles culturally, I think. And I think men have a lot to learn, and I think women have a lot to learn. And I think you're right. Without purpose, we kind of move into these, you know, silos where we think we're trying to solve a big problem that doesn't actually exist in the way we think it exists.
Well, it might be a problem, but it's not a problem on the scale of,
it's not a macro problem.
History's problems,
or at a macro level.
Yeah.
Right. Generally, most men don't oppress women.
Most of them, yeah.
Right. There are some that do, and that's a problem. I don't disagree with that. And vice versa. I mean, you know, you can say the same thing. So I think this culture thing is really important to get to politics and policy and how the direction that we want to move a country to be free. And so I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the actual answer is. But I do think that we need to keep communicating with each other about these ideas and not just say, well, you're wrong, so I'm not listening to you. I think we should hear each other out and try to actually solve the problem.
I think that the number one thing we can do is stick to the truth in all of these scenarios. You know, we talk about people, I was talking about people wanting to cosplay their civil rights movement or the women's suffrage movement or whatever it is, and we have to stick to the truth. And not feed into it and not let that keep growing and growing. It can grow and grow, but don't be a part of it. Like, you take responsibility for what you need to do.
Mm.
Charlie, before I know,
let me read the last part here, though.
Oh, I'm not even.
Because they
right
say,
now.
Okay, they say here, it was suggested the plight of transgender citizens be used as a teachable example of experiences with power and oppression. That the categories such as race, gender, and sexuality have roots in European colonial logic shared by fascist movements. Engineering in particular, they've got to infiltrate, okay? They argued is a critical field to teach their far-left ideology because such graduates frequently work in fields such as fossil fuels, defense, construction, and technology upon graduation and could be taught about these fields' relationships with national and global racial capitalism and ongoing apartheid in Palestine as an example. We could teach these engineering students that all of these, that capitalism and the Jews are a problem.
And because right now they're fascist.
Because right now they're fascist. You see how none of that makes any sense? Like,
these fascists aren't mad enough at the Jews.
They don't support Palestine enough.
Fix this problem.
You know? That's a quote, by the way. A literal quote.
It's in there.
From what this team says.
That's what happens when you get in the word salad, some, and then it gets typed out. Some of your words don't make sense. You know? That's the way it works out. Charlie, if it's someone's first time listening to Good Morning Liberty, or they could be listening on the radio, Liberty at Night with Nate and Chuck on the Free Talk Live Network, where would you tell them to go to find more of our things that we have?
GoodMorningLiberty.us.
That is a place.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Not my first choice, but that is a website.
GodHatesFeds.com.
There's one also.
Okay. JoinGML.com.
There's one too. Yeah.
Okay. What's another one?
BernieLies.com is a good one, actually. It brings up our link page. That's a good one. So it's a link.
BernieLies.com.
Yeah.
That's a place.
That's also a place.
On the internet.
And mainly the point here is that we have a lot of URLs, and we think that you should know about them. How many URLs do you guys have out there? Write into us at charlie@goodmorningliberty.us and let us know. Go to lizlies.com if you want to check out. Coming up, we're going to talk about some questionable messaging from Ron DeSantis. We're going to talk about an asteroid that maybe we could mine for an unthinkable and impossible amount of money. Whether or not the government's coming for your water heaters, just like the gas stoves and brick ovens, things like that. We're going to talk tariffs, healthcare, Bidenomics, climate denialism, all that coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.